9, and we'll pick right back up where we left off last week. And I want you to pray for this group that is coming to sing, these ladies. Pray that God would bless them and use it. All right, come on. Take God's word and turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. I'm excited to continue in this thought process. I have been dealing for the last several weeks on prayer, and then last week we began a new series on God's word, and I'm taking it from a little different approach. Jeremiah chapter 9, I'd like you to look with me at verse 23, and I want to remind you of the thought that I shared with you last week. It is to our glory that we know the Lord. I want to know the Lord, don't you? I'm not talking about just being a Christian. I'm not talking about just barely making it to heaven. I'm talking about knowing the Lord. You know, in the Christian life, one of the most beautiful things is being able to walk with our Lord day to day, day in and day out, having a personal relationship with Him. And I mentioned this thought that we don't know the Lord any better than we know His Word. That's the thought here behind this series of messages. I'm going to walk our way through the book of Jeremiah. In chapter 1 we looked, I'll share with you a few brief things that we looked at last week, but we're walking through Jeremiah, and I want you to see this truth. It comes to a head in chapter 9 when the Bible says in verse 23, would you look with me, Jeremiah 9 and verse 23? Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, But let him that glorieth glory in this. That's the title to this series of messages. Glory in this. Glory in what? Notice what the Bible says. That he understandeth and knoweth me. It is my desire, it is my plan to be able to feed the flock, to be able to give the church wisdom and understanding from God's word, so that for one purpose, not to make us self-righteous or holier than thou, but so that we might truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in an intimate way. The Bible says in verse 24 that I am the Lord which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight. Would you mark that phrase? For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We'll get to this, not today. We'll get to that at some point in time. This morning, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to look at these three statements that are made, three areas that man has a false confidence, three ways or three things that man puts his trust in that the Lord says they have no value. The first one, notice what the Bible says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Would you mark that as number one? And then the Bible says, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. That is the second one. And then the Bible says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. So three things that we know of for sure that can become substitutes for the knowledge of God. Three things that we allow in our life to become a substitute for the reading of God's word. Would you pray with me and ask the Lord to speak to your heart this morning? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm so grateful and thankful to be back in church today. I'm so thankful for those that have assembled and gathered themselves so that we might hear from your word. I do pray that you would do a work that is beyond me. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would minister to us this morning from his word. I ask God that you would help us to understand what you have for us and bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, when we began to talk about what we are to glory in this, I emphasized that there is a correction that needs to be made. There's a correction that needs to be made in all of our mindset. If you'll look with me, three times you'll find let not, neither let, or let not. God says, don't let this happen. How many of you recognize that in the course of life, there are many things that have to be corrected? Do you know how many of you were able to drive this morning? Not as a passenger, but as the actual driver. You drove to church today. Would you lift your hand up and lift it real big and tall? How many of you would say, Brother Fred, I made hundreds of corrections to get here? You realize that, right? So as you made your way to the church this morning, as you drove your vehicle, if you wouldn't have corrected that vehicle hundreds of times, you would have never been able to arrive at Lighthouse Baptist Church. Life is the same way. It's not one correction that fixes it all. It's not one thing that we repair in life, but it's a series of corrections. I've said it this way many times, that the Christian life is like a walk. A walk that we have with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And many times we fell in that walk, don't we? You know, I've started many different times to exercise. I'm sure you've done the same. All good intentions, and begin out maybe working out, or maybe begin jogging, or maybe begin walking, or whatever it is. And I said, well, I'm going to do this every day. This is something I'm going to do every single day. And then I find myself, not very long at all, I stop that walk, or I stop that exercise. Well, I come to the realization this is not helping at all. I'm going to have to start back. How many of you have had a diet that way? You say, I'm going on a diet. And it always starts tomorrow, right? You start on that diet and you realize, oh, I've dropped the ball. Do you know the Christian life is the exact same way? There are many times that we start off right, and it's not very long in our walk with the Lord that there's a correction that has to be made. One of the greatest things that you'll ever do in this life is make the correction spiritually. Make spiritual corrections often. I'm giving you these five areas of the Christian life where to make spiritual corrections. Before I forget, I have these pens, and I've given this sheet out, and what I would like for you to do is, if you would commit to 40 days of reading your Bible, making this promise, making this commitment to not only just read the Word of God, but to meditate on the Word of God and to understand the Word of God, I want to give you one of these pens. I want you to go ahead and take them. I don't want to wait the full 6 weeks like we did on the prayer pens, but I want you to go ahead as a reminder that you're going to read God's Word for 40 days. I want you to take one of these pens. At the conclusion of the service, they're there for you. I've already given you the sheet, and if you would take that sheet, and as you would think about, hey, I want to be a sincere Christian, I want to know the Lord, then take this pen as a reminder of your commitment to the Lord. Take this pen as a reminder to help you stay consistent in this walk with the Lord. So we talked about this correction to be made in Jeremiah chapter 1. If you missed Sunday evening service last week, there are a few things I'd like for you to look at. Would you turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 1? Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to give you just a few things about God's Word. I won't go into the detail that I gave you on Sunday night, but I want to share with you just a few things. In verses 1 through 4, what God is doing is He is showing the nation of Israel that He reveals Himself through His Word. And I hope that maybe you'll make a note there some way in Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, that the way that God reveals Himself today is the same as He revealed Himself then. God used prophets and seers. God spoke openly in the Old Testament. But today, God is still using His Word. It's the written Word. And it's impossible for us to know God's plan and God's purpose for our life. It is impossible for us to know what God's will is for us to accomplish outside of His Word. God reveals His purpose for our lives from the Word of God. And that's the reason why I encourage this. This is the root of the Christian life. Praying and reading God's Word. This is the root. The fruit comes later. The fruit is something that will happen later on. In verses 6 through 8, I gave you this thought, that God's Word has authority. Many times as even believers, as Christians, we belittle the authority that God establishes, number one, in His Word, and number two, in His church. But for the believer, I want you to see that God's Word has authority. In verses 9 through 10, we see that God's Word is transformational. God's Word changes us. We remember, according to the Bible, that the Word of God is quick and powerful. In the book of Hebrews, the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is alive. It literally ministers to our lives. It ministers to our heart. I'm thankful that the Scripture still works. I've heard many preachers say that the Word of God is just as valuable as the front page of the newspaper. I'm very thankful that we can trust it. In verses 11 and 12, we see that God watches over His Word and God blesses His Word. There's nothing that God has provided protection for in a greater way than His Word. Many, many hammers have blown against the anvil of the Word of God. And the hammers have been worn out, not the anvil, which is the Word of God. God's Word remains. God's Word is constant. God's Word is continual, and we're very thankful for that. And I want you to see that God has a plan for us. Now, here's the one that I want you to see in verse 19, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 19, and maybe jot this down. God's Word will come to pass. It is trustworthy. When God makes a promise, not only a promise that we would consider in a positive way, but also in a negative way. God makes promises to keep us and to protect us and to help us. These are corrections that need to be made in the Christian life, and they need to be made early. These are corrections that we need to make to our thinking so that we understand the importance that God places on the Word of God. Now, I want you to turn back with me to Jeremiah chapter 9, and I want to get into this second thought. And not only is there a correction to be made, there is a confidence that has no value. I want you to see that men have confidence in things that have little to no worth, especially when it comes to the eternal. God gives us a list of these. I've already had you to mark them. I won't go over them again, but let's look at the first one of them. Some men glory in wisdom. And what wisdom is here in this is what I know. As a matter of fact, sometimes when men have wisdom, it becomes not an asset, but it becomes a liability. Wisdom becomes a liability because they use it in a prideful way. Sometimes people know things about the Bible. Sometimes people will say, well, look how many verses I can quote, or look how many chapters I can quote, or look what I know about the Word of God, and it becomes a self-righteous thing. where they lift their own self up and say, look at the wisdom that I have. Look at the understanding that I have concerning the Word of God. I want you to understand they have no value. This is a confidence that has no value, just what you know. Intellectual pride is the fruit of what we find in verse 23. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And here's the reason for this. Let me give you the reason why wisdom has little or no spiritual value. First, would you jot this down? Intellectual confidence cannot reveal the Lord. What I'm saying is intellectual wisdom or confidence cannot reveal God. It's impossible. It doesn't matter what we know about the Bible or what we know about the Lord. That doesn't necessarily reveal God's plan and God's purpose for our life. We need to have an intimate relationship, an intimate walk with Him. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21, 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. We live in that day today. We have more information at our fingertips than any time in history. We are learning and learning and learning and learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We are more educated and there is more understanding at the tips of our fingertips than any time in history. Yet we know less about God and we know less about His Word. What I'm saying is this: intellectual confidence does not reveal the Lord. Only your personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only your personal knowledge of God. And that's where it's at. There is a confidence that has no value. And that confidence is when we place our faith, our confidence in the wrong thing, and that is in what we know, not who we know. Who we know is way more important than what we know. Who we know is what is the goal. Then look at the second one. The Bible says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Then the Bible says, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. We take our health for granted, don't we? We take our strength for granted. It doesn't take but a moment, ask Ms. Ham. It doesn't take but just a moment, and God will take that strength from us. God will take our physical ability from us. Many of us have recognized that. Many of us have seen that. Ask Donnie. Ask Robert. There's many people that could testify that, hey, they were healthy at one moment, and then in the next, that health, that strength is gone. I remember in 1998, traveling from Morristown, Tennessee to Knoxville, Tennessee. I was doing it on a regular basis. I was going to a community college there. And as I was going to that community college, on the way back home, I was in my 1994 model Nissan pickup truck. I loved it. 5-speed truck, 4-wheel drive. It's just perfect, West Virginia. Rick and Mary said, you guys sound different. Yeah, we're hillbillies. Amen. I was in Tennessee in my redneck vehicle. I just loved it. Big old huge whip antenna on the top, CB radio underneath the dash, ready to roll. And I got about halfway back from Morristown, Tennessee, and I had the worst pain you could ever possibly imagine. I had no idea what it was. Literally, it felt like somebody had shot me on my right side, about right here and about right here. Well, come to find out, that was just the beginning of my misery and my woe. It wasn't long, maybe 2 or 3 days later, I found myself calling an ambulance to my house. And you can ask my wife, I was flopping on the floor like a fish, thinking I was going to die, and come to find out it was a kidney stone. Instantly, my life changed. Instantly, my life was different. In 2008, I messed my back up. I had surgery on my back in 2000, but in 2008, I messed my back up again. I was 21 days in either a wheelchair, on a walker, or on crutches, and this actually was worse than when I had surgery. My back messed up so bad. I was 11 days in the hospital. I couldn't get out of the hospital bed. We take for granted our health, don't we? We take for granted our strength that the Lord gives us. But notice what the Bible warns here. There's a warning. First, don't glory in your wisdom. It does not reveal the Lord. Only your knowledge of God reveals the Lord. Then there's a second warning, and the warning is this: neither let the mighty man glory in his might. We ought to be thankful for the strength and the health that God gives us, but we cannot rejoice in what we are able to accomplish. As a matter of fact, what we are able to do is so little compared to what God can do through us and in us. May God help us to rejoice in what God can do, not what we can do. See, the bottom line is this. Would you write down these two words? Self-reliance. Self-reliance is a dangerous thing. Self-reliance keeps us from being God-reliant. When we're able to accomplish something with our own strength and with our own might, we don't need the Lord, do we? And it is not until God takes that self-reliance away. It's not until God places us in a position or a circumstance where we don't have self-reliance until we look to the Lord. May we look to the Lord at all times so that we don't trust in this self-reliance. And here's the main thing. Why you cannot trust in self-reliance is this, because here's the thing. Physical confidence, confidence in your own physical ability, cannot do anything for you spiritually or cannot help your soul in any way. And that's what religion does. Religion looks to the works of the flesh for salvation. Religion looks to the works of the flesh to please the Lord. Listen, I think that we all agree that salvation is by faith, by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. You cannot work your way to heaven, amen? You cannot earn or merit your way to heaven. Listen, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the most cruel death you could ever possibly imagine. You want to talk about a horrible God? Do you want to talk about a God that is to be despised and hated? Is a God in heaven that would allow his son Jesus Christ to go through what he went through on the cross of Calvary and allow us to get to heaven in some other way? May we realize that it would be an absolutely cruel God that would sacrifice his son the way Jesus was crucified on the cross and allow us to get to heaven by works of righteousness. There would be no purpose. There would be no reason for the death of cross, the death of Christ if we could earn or merit our own salvation. May we recognize this truth. Physical confidence, physical strength cannot secure spiritual blessings. It just cannot happen. I want you to write down Psalm 20 and verse 7. Psalm 20 and verse 7. The Bible says, some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. God's people do not put their confidence. God's people do not put their trust in physical strength. We trust in the Lord because strength cannot produce righteousness, only faith. May we trust the Lord. May we trust his word. May we know God and may we know his word. Strength cannot give us peace with God, but our knowledge of God can. See, it doesn't matter how strong you are today physically. It will never give you peace with God. Think about it for a moment. Meditate on this thought. Meditate on this principle. It doesn't matter how strong we are, how able we are, it will never bring us the peace of God. It avails none when it comes to the peace of God. It's a spiritual work. And remember, the emphasis here is that we need to know God. And how do we know God? We know God through his word. We know the peace of God through his word. It does not come in strength. And then let's look at the last one. The Bible says in verse 23, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And then the Bible says, let not the rich man glory in his riches. First, you would say, oh, Brother Fred, I'm not rich. Not me. You know, I can barely make my payments, but I want you to understand, based on the world's economy, based on the world's economy, we're all rich. Do you recognize that? Wait a minute. Hold on just a second. I want us to all agree on this. Do you agree that we're all rich? We are rich. We are blessed. All you have to do is leave the luxuries of our wonderful country and the freedom that we have here. If you go anywhere outside the United States, it's very easy to see that, dear friend, we are rich. We've been blessed. We've been blessed by God in a mighty way. And here's what I'm saying. It is easy when we are provided for by the Lord in such a way to put our confidence in those riches instead of the Lord. It is easy for us to trust in those riches. There's a great danger there in putting our confidence in these riches. This isn't what I have, what I possess. This is material security, things that we trust in. And here's the thought that I want you to jot down. Material confidence cannot provide for anything that is eternal. Material confidence cannot provide for anything that is eternal. All of these have a great danger. They're substitutes. And this life is filled with substitutes. You say, Brother Fred, what are they substituting for? They substitute for genuine Christianity. These are things that we put in the place of God. These are things that we put in the place of the Word of God. These are things that keep us from being right with God. Wisdom, what I know. Might, what I can do. And riches, what I have, will always take the place, God's rightful place. I want to share with you another verse. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17, I hope that you'll jot this down. The Bible says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded. Then the Bible goes on to say, nor trust in uncertain riches. I want you to understand today that just as uncertain as your health is, so are your riches. You cannot put confidence in them. They have no eternal value. May we understand that. And again, I gave you these two words, self-reliance, earlier. I want you to write down these two words. Would you write down the word self-sufficiency? Self-sufficiency. What a mistake that God's people make. Self-sufficiency. We've learned to make it without God. We've learned to live our life without God. We've learned to go through this life with our own wisdom. We've learned to go through life in our own might and strength. We've learned to go through life with our own finances. You'll find through the scripture that there's a pattern. And that pattern is this. God's people get to a place where God provides for them and God protects them and gives them great provision. And because of that provision, they stray away from the Lord. They leave the Lord. One of the great disadvantages of being an American citizen is this. We are so blessed. God has been so good to us. We fail to seek the Lord. Let me ask you today. Are you where you need to be at in your relationship with God, in your continuing knowledge of God? Are you where you need to be at in your Bible reading with God? If the answer to that is no, then let me ask you this question. Which of these three areas in God's list are always perfect? God never makes a mistake when he makes a list in his word. Which of these areas, if not all three of these areas, prevent you from seeking the Lord in his word? I'm saying this as your preacher today, that until we get the root right of the Christian life, until we get the foundation right in the Christian life, we will never produce the fruit that God desires for us to have. We'll never be the Christians that God wants us to be. It must begin where God begins. And here's what God says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Today, would you say that your own wisdom, what you know, is keeping you? You say, I don't need to read the Bible. I already know it. I already understand it. Do you know? Here's what I found out. If you read the same page, not the same chapter, not the same book, if you read the same page and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, you will learn something every time you read it. There's no question. God speaks to us through his word over and over and over again. Have you got to the point in your Christian walk where you think, I've already got it. I already understand it. I've been saved long enough where I have a good enough grasp on the word of God that it keeps me from learning something else. Is it possible that your own strength, your own might? I'm getting along just fine. Life is good for me. When we ask, how are you doing? I'm just fine. You know, that's one of the most prideful things that you could say. We all say it. I say it myself. But honestly, we're only doing fine because God blesses. God is good to us. And may we not trust in how well we're doing. May we trust in what God desires for us. And then this last thought, let's never rejoice. Let's never put confidence in what we have. Let's never rejoice or glory in our riches. Would you stand with me? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to sit real still and sit real quiet, and I want you to think about the message today. I'm asking you to commit to 40 days of reading your Bible. You say, Brother Fred, why? So that we might know the Lord. I want to know the mind of Christ. I want to have the mind of God. How many of you would say, Brother Fred, one of these three areas is keeping me? One of these three areas is I'm sidetracked in my Bible reading. I'm not where I need to be at in my Bible reading. I'm not where I should be in my Bible study. I want you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand and take it right back down? God bless you. Many, many hands, almost every hand. You cannot know the Lord. You cannot know the Lord outside of His Word. And your only knowledge of God is what you know about Him from His Word. How many of you say, Brother Fred, I want to make this commitment. I'm going to come and take one of your pens after the service today. I'm going to take this challenge. And with God being my helper, I'm going to spend 40 days reading and praying and spending time with God in His Word. Would you lift your hand and take it back down? God bless you. As Miss Sandy begins to play, if you lifted your hand, would you come? Would you respond and ask God for His help? Ask God for His blessings? Ask God to help you in this area.